And so, with the cup held high, may the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners, you're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast, Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And very happy podcast it is, well, for one reason. Wasn't a great weekend overall for all of the Meath teams, but it was a great victory to get over the neighbours, Davey. We had the noisy neighbours in town last week. We had the other neighbours in town this week, Kildare, and they suffered the same fate as Louth. They lost. Meath winning 12 points to 9. And we will come back to that in a few minutes. But just great to get those two victories over our nearest and dearest, Davey.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter how you get them. But it's so, so important to get them, isn't it? For bragging rights, for points, for belief and for confidence for ourselves as well. And it just changes the mood altogether. It was all doom and gloom a couple of weeks ago. You remember back and we were struggling to see light at the end of the tunnel. All of a sudden, you get two wins over Kildare and Louth, and all is rosy in the garden again, Mickey.
Yeah, they're morale-boosting wins, that's for sure. Absolutely. And we've loads to get through. The Camogues were out as well. The Hurlers were out. They had to travel down to Kerry. Ladies footballers were not out, but they will be out next week. We have the new All-County Football Leagues as well. We've got the 10 divisions. We want to run through that with you. We'll have an update from the GAA predictions. We'll have our lottos and Instagram as well. Lots of talking points from our listeners. So, Davey, we'll head straight back to that victory for Meath. We have done a full review over on our Loyal Royals podcast with interviews from Colm O'Rourke and Matty Costello after the sweet, sweet victory over Kildare. 12 points to 9 for Meath, who led practically all the way through the game, relinquished that lead with a few minutes to go, maybe 10 minutes to go. I think it was Kildare went 9 points to 8 up at that stage. But Meath rallied and reeled off 4 points in a row to give them what was a comfortable enough victory in the end, Davey.
Yeah, it was in the end. But 5 minutes or 6 minutes from time, we were actually a point in arrears, 9 points to 8. And we'd only scored 2 points in 30 minutes of the second half with a decent breeze behind us. So it was a curious second half performance up to that point. But you're right, the way we finished the game, we got 4 points unanswered. Big contribution off our bench. And in stark contrast to last week against Louth, controlled the final knockings of the game and seen the game out really, really well, which was probably the most pleasing aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Colm gives us an update on the injury front on the Meath team. And Matty Costello just talks about the maturity of this young, very young Meath team at the moment, and how this the character has been built into these players. Really interesting interviews there. Also, Matty Costello on his goal last week, Davey. He speaks about that and the social media explosion of his goal when it went viral, and you know how that affected him. Again, something in the interview that's really well worth listening to.
Yeah, Matt's a great lad. Speaks really, really well. Superb level of maturity, obviously vice captain now. So that's a really good interview. Very insightful, as it generally is when you speak to Matt. And you'll get a feel for how things are in the camp and the bond that exists there, and how they're all striving to achieve, basically, and they're satisfied with their league thus far. Not overjoyed, not underwhelmed, but just content at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it. There was a possible 8 points up for grabs at this stage, and we've got 5. You know, to have 5 points at this stage is is exactly where, you know, the minimum that we would have wanted, maybe. And the only blot on the copybook, apart from the Armagh game, was that draw with Fermanagh. And, you know, we spoke about how important it is to get the wins on the board, not be beaten at home, and turning Meath and Park Tolchin into a fortress.
Well, that's it too. You have one game left to play against Cork, and if you're not beaten in that one, you go into the championship then, and you're unbeaten. So, it you never know. It just could be something. In relation to the 5 points, yeah, it's been a long and winding road to get to this stage. You know, plenty of ups and downs, and probably all doom and gloom after two rounds of action. And I don't think too many people would have believed you if you said that 2 weeks after that Armagh game you'd be sitting with 5 points on the board, and all of a sudden things don't seem so bad, with another winnable game on paper to come next week. So 5 points from a possible eight, plenty of room for improvement, it has to be said. By no means the finished product at all, but lovely to see them win it ugly.
Yeah, and for this stage of the year to be looking up instead of looking down, you know, like, and again, to without heaping any pressure on this team or whatever, there is the slight chance of promotion, but it's not about that. It's about being able to play now with the shackles off, because they've got the 5 points on the board. There's plenty of teams below them. And it's about the development of this team, because this is an extremely, extremely young team. When you think of that interview with Matty Costello, he's one of the more experienced players in this team at 23 years of age, 24 maybe?
Yeah. That's it. That's the bigger picture here, Mickey. I probably don't think in my heart of hearts that we're ready to go up. In truth, I don't think it would be such a bad thing if we're in Division 2 next year and we really go at it then, because I think at this moment in time we still probably have a bit to find and develop. So I think if we can finish the league relatively strong, get another win or two under our belt and tee us up nicely for Longford then in the Leinster Championship, I think that would be a pretty satisfactory league for most people, bearing in mind all the absentees and injuries that we have at the moment as well, which probably hasn't helped our cause.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the slight matter of a little local derby next week. Of course, it's the Battle of the Carnaross Shit Tower, as they've branded it down in Cavan a few times. Cavan and Meath next week in Kingspan Breffni. We're looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I think we are, and probably there's more pressure on Cavan going into it, Mickey, because they still probably have genuine promotion hopes at this point. Meath have an outside chance, but the relegation pressure has been eased somewhat now on the back of the two wins consecutively. So maybe Meath can go into it with the underdog tag and with the pressure off to an extent, and hopefully we can see them produce their best. And I think they'll need to produce better than what they've done in the last 2 weeks. I don't think we've seen good bits in it, but it hasn't been for long enough. So I think next week they're going to have more of a complete performance in order to try and get a result. But I think they're capable of that, by the way. I wouldn't be at all afraid going up to Cavan like that. But I do think they'll have to raise their game. But I expect them to raise their game, because they've got two Derby Day wins, and that'll whet the appetite nicely for a third potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Another local derby next weekend. Davey, talk to me about the crowd. Was there a big crowd in Park Tolchin for the visit of Kildare?
Yeah, there was, but obviously there wasn't as much Kildare as there was Louth from the previous week. So the crowd wasn't as big, but there was probably the same, if not just a little bit less of a Meath support from the previous week. Still a decent and healthy crowd.
Vocal?
Yeah, when they needed to be. And they were patient, which is probably the word on everybody's lips at the minute, Columns included. But they stuck with the team, which was nice to see. And like they were last week, they were there in the finish when Meath probably needed them. And you could hear the roar, particularly when Cahillachy equalised in the 64th minute. It was a massive roar from the terrace. I love to hear that. When the terrace are right behind the shot and you hear the roar from over in the stand, it's a class sound.
Glenn Ryan, obviously in the news over the last few weeks, did he bring much of a media frenzy to Park Tolchin?
It was a big media frenzy. Yeah, there was I couldn't get a seat. I was late, as you know, to the game, so I was standing up at the back of the press box for the most part. But yeah, there was a large media contingent, particularly the nationals who were there. He was his ever boisterous self along the touchline. God help the linesman and the fourth official. My word, I'd say he'll be ringing in their ears tonight. But that's the type of character he is. He's under immense pressure, rightly or wrongly. It's probably a difficult place to be. His team gave him a decent performance, by the way, much improved as to what they shown against Armagh. But it wasn't enough, and that was a game they probably needed to win. So Meath have probably put at least a nail in their coffin. I wouldn't say the final nail just yet, but they're not far off that.
Yeah, mathematically, it's still a possibility if they were to win their last three games, but they are up against it. And a lot of the lads over around the Kilcock border and whatever will be very happy with that, because I think you can safely say that tonight the Kintyre Hams are in the attic, Davey.
that features prominently in our Instagram interactive this evening,
Mickey. I had a feeling it would. Well, look, we'll look forward on the other podcast, on the review podcast of Meath Kildare. We also look forward to the game next weekend between Meath and Cavan, Saturday, 7 p.m. in Kingspan, Breffni. I'd say there's going to be a massive atmosphere. I'd say there's going to be a massive crowd as well. I'm really looking forward to it. Everybody knows the ties that I have to Cavan, and obviously I'm a Meath man, so I will be sitting on the fence and calling a draw between the two teams. No doubt about that, Davey. But Cavan's a good town. Like, it's a Saturday evening, and no reason why lads shouldn't go down and enjoy themselves and have a few pints. And if they are looking to go to any pubs, just get in contact with us and I'll let them know where all the good pubs are in Cavan town.
Yeah, it's a novel pairing, actually. It's not, we talked about this as well on the Loyal Royals, Mickey. It's not one that we get every year. So there's a hint of intrigue about it, and just something a bit different with it. Like, and the rivalries will be renewed. I still think it's more of a rivalry for Cavan for whatever reason than it is for Meath. But at the same time, I would love it if we beat them, you know.
I still think that they haven't got over 97 driving through Kells.
Yeah, I think that was, they haven't.
No. Yeah. And neither would you if the windows in your bus or your car were put through by rocks or whatever.
Allegedly.
It was somewhere. I don't even know if it was Kells, but we'll just say it was somewhere in Meath that these things allegedly happened. But I think the next time that they were in Croke Park might have been 2007, and I thought that it was a nicer feel to that when Cavan were going through the likes of Kells and Navan and whatever, because there was signs put up for the Cavan people saying Croke Park this way. You know, they didn't throw stones
or
this thing.
Or the fact that they had the M3 motorway, so they didn't need to pass through Kells.
That's true. But it's going to be a cracker. I know it is. It's going to be a cracking game of football. It'll be a very, very open game of football. And we could be in for a high-scoring game. Next up that we're going to talk about, Davey, was our Camogues. They were out on Saturday in Trim. Home game against, again, the local derby against Westmeath, the noisy neighbours. And two goals for Westmeath gave them a share of the spoils. Meath 13 points, Westmeath 2 goals and 7. And that's one that Meath would have been expecting to win.
It is. Westmeath are always sticky opposition. Yeah. They always give Meath their fill of it. And it was a topsy-turvy game that the lead sort of changed hands on numerous different occasions. Again, no disrespect to Cavan, but we sort of talked about it from last week that this would be a massive step up in class for me. Then sure enough, it was. Amy Gaffney turned in a 5-star performance, struck 5 points from play and brilliant display. Aoife Carey was also very impressive with 3. Emma Hannafin got 2. Ciara Foley, who got a goal in round 1, got a point in this one. Grace Coleman and Katie Connolly also on target for Meath. Not a bad result, I don't think. And on the face of it, I think a draw is probably the fairest of results. Both sides had their chances late on, but it was a good contest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Meath will travel to Derry, if I'm not mistaken, in 2 weeks' time. It's the weekend of the 9th and 10th of March. and will be looking to get a victory over a team that they've had some ding-dong battles with over the last couple of years.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the auto mower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Sticking with the Hurley Six, Davey, and the Meath Hurlers were out on Sunday. They had to travel down to Austin Stack Park in Killarney to take on Kerry. Not been a happy hunting ground for Meath in recent years. And the same again, Kerry coming away with the victory. 3 goals and 14 points to Meath, 16 points. 17 scores to 16, but it was the goals that Kerry got that propelled them to a comfortable 7-point victory in the end.
Yeah, and it didn't look probably likely at any stage that it was going to turn out like a scoreline like that, because Meath were always in touch with the Kingdom. But you're right about the goals. They sort of arrived at real opportune times for Kerry, and they made the most of that. Shane Conway with a goal and nine, late addition starting team. He came in and he's one of their key men, and obviously returning to fitness, goal and nine, a hell of a score for him. And that was what was central to Kerry's victory. Probably the scoreline is a little bit harsh on Meath in the end. Kerry ran in a third goal very late in the day, and Meath were within touch and distance with Tom Shinedad and a score in the 69th minute. But the third goal put a bit of gloss on it from a Kerry standpoint and made it look a little bit harsher than probably was the reality from a Meath point of view. For Meath, they were well served as usual by the likes of Nicky Potterton, who sent over 3 points from play. There were 8 in all for Padraig O'Hanrahan, James Murray, Tom Shine, and Dara Shine were also on target, along with 2 points off the bench from Shawnee Quigley. Meath were without Shawnee Martin, incidentally. He didn't play, and he was replaced by a good friend of the podcast, Jack Walsh, who came in for his first league start. Good to see the Navan O'Matney's man in there. But all in vain, unfortunately, for Meath. It was a game that we talked up last week that they could potentially go down there and win. But unfortunately, the Kerry hoodoo remains, and they were victorious again.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a strong finish to the game for Kerry. As you said, with what, 58, nearly 60 minutes gone, there was only 3 points between the teams, but it was Kerry who finished stronger and ended up winning by 7. So Meath will have to do it all again the Sunday, the 10th of March. I think they were off next weekend when they will be looking forward to the visit of Laois to Navan, 2 p.m. on the Sunday. It'll be Meath and Laois, and that's a novel enough pairing for Meath. They haven't played Laois in quite some years in hurling fronts.
No, I can't seem to remember too many games that they played against Laois. Laois haven't been going too bad. They've got 2 wins to their name, beaten Down and beaten Kildare already. And they weren't disgraced when they played Carlow over the weekend as well. It finished Carlow 123, Laois 21 points. So only 5 points in the difference there. So that'll tell you the magnitude of the test that faces Meath in a couple of weeks. But back on home soil, which will be of relief. And hopefully there'll be a big crowd in there to support the Meath team.
Yeah, you know, it's funny the way you speak about Laois not being disgraced by Carlow. Like Laois were a powerhouse of hurling in Leinster for a long, long time. And if I'm not mistaken, we're only relegated back down to Division 2A last year. You know, to lose to Carlo, that'll hurt them as well. And they are going to be one of the main protagonists in the division.
They are. And like, you think back to the, even not so long ago, with the likes of Cheddar Plunkett and the job he'd done there, and the job that Eddie Brennan was doing there as well, before his time unfortunately came to an end. So they're absolutely of good pedigree, and they're up there in every respect with Carlo and the like. So I don't mean to be playing them down in any way, shape or form. It'll be a formidable test for Meath. But again, on home soil, I think it'll be a bit of a leveller, and hopefully Meath can rediscover the form they showed in round one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is Sunday the 10th of March, 2 p.m. in Navan. Meath getting to play a higher opposition, and it'll be good for them in this year's league campaign leading into the championship. So best luck to the lads in that one. Davey, the ladies obviously weren't out this week, but they will be out next week, Sunday the 3rd of March, and they will be taking on Galway in Galway. So massive game for the girls.
It is, and you know, first defeat for Shane McCormick. They've had a couple of weeks to kind of stew up on it and to set things right. So you would expect a big reaction from them, but it'll be a tough game, obviously, on the road over to the tribeswomen, and never an easy place to go and try and get a result. But a win would put us back in the final picture again. A defeat would probably be a pretty heavy blow. So there's a lot riding on it, and hopefully the girls can rediscover the form they showed in the first 3 weeks of the season to get themselves back to winning ways here.
Yeah, they'd be expecting a win here. Galway's sitting at the bottom of the pile at the moment in Division 1 of the Ladies Football League. So, you know, it's a good chance for them to get back up there. And at this stage, they're going to be looking, if they can get the victory over Galway, they'd be looking at the Kerry game being the main game, the big game in the final push towards the end of this league campaign.
Yeah, that'll be the focus, obviously, to stay on track. What you don't want is, you don't want to be going into that one on the back of back-to-back defeats. So it's all about getting a win next week. I wouldn't be fooled by Galway being bottom. I think that'll Meath coming to town, and the fact that they need a result will probably bring out the best in them. So it is a bit of a banana skin for Meath, but you're right. I think if Meath go there with the right attitude and they turn up and perform like they can, they'll win, hopefully.
Yeah, well, best luck to the ladies when they travel down to Galway next weekend in search of another victory in the Ladies League Division 1. Davey, we looking just down at our next part, Club Cup competitions. The final round of games are due to be played this week, weather permitting. Hopefully it all stays together and we get these last rounds of games done. We've done a full review and preview podcast over on our Loyal Royals podcast. There's some tasty games to come this week in all of the different cups, from the Fresh Cup right down to the Torch and Shield.
Yeah, there's some blockbuster games. The ones that stand out in my head, you've got Carnross and Minalty in the Shield. You've got Oldcastle and Duleek Bellewstown in the Cornabonia. There's a couple of really nice local games in the Talton Cup, involving Dundry, Ulton's, Ballinlock and Kilmainham. And then in the senior, you could potentially have a winner-takes-all game between Simonstown and Dunchoclan if that comes to fruition on Friday night. So there's... And Kills and Rathoath.
I was just going to say Kills and Rathoath. Yeah, that's a nice taste.
We were salivating over that one, weren't we? So that'll be an absolute belter as well. Winner goes through. So brilliant week in prospect, hopefully across the board in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we said, full review of all the games played over the last week and a full preview of all the games coming this week in the Club Cup competitions. Davey, the next part of our podcast is about the league competitions. And if I'm not mistaken, the leagues have been, what's the word?
Finalized.
They've been what?
Finalized.
Finalized, okay. They've been finalized, but they've regrouped all the leagues and there's now 10 leagues. This year, and you have the standings for each of the leagues.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I suppose that's a model that's used. I think Dublin use it, a lot of counties use it, that it's nearly like the B League is incorporated into the A League, and it's just one big long, you know, 10 division, 12 division thing. In Meath's terms, it's 10 divisions. and you've got second teams, you've got third teams. And this will, this I like this, by the way, and I think it'll take a couple of years for teams to find where they should be. The CCC have done their utmost to try and grade them accordingly and depending on where they think and that. But they've laid out all the teams and all them. All the fixtures have been released for the entire campaign, including days, venues and times, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable work by the CCC to do that. I think credit to Conor Tormey, the chairman, Kieran Flynn, the secretary, Dudley Farrell as well. I know I'm probably missing one or two, but that is a savage body of work with what they've done.
That was a massive undertaking from them. And did the teams, like, have any teams been regraded way down the leagues from where they would have been? And was there any objection to this, or did the teams have a say in where they were going when they were being regraded?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did. So there was a draft put out, and then there was a bit of feedback on clubs that maybe thought they should be a division higher or division lower, either with their first or second team or third team in some instances. So in fairness, there was full transparency from the CCC, and they played ball, you know, in terms of getting it to the as right as they possibly could. A lot of things have been factored in too, including promotions and relegations and that, emigrations, teams with county involvements, all that stuff has been kind of factored in.
How many teams are there in each league division?
So most have 12 teams. There are 1, 2, 3 divisions across the 10 that only have 10 teams. But okay. Most, the 7 other divisions all have 12 teams.
Do you want to run through them, or is...
I'll as quickly as I possibly can, I will. So we start in the PR Coyne and Sons, Division 1. Fair play to Kevin Coyne for sponsoring this. And the reason he's sponsoring is, of course, because Ballinabracky are in it, isn't it, Mickey?
The reason why he sponsored it was to keep Ballinabracky in Division 1.
yeah, very true. Looking at it, they might have to work cut out to stay there though, because they're in with Dunham or Ashburn, Gaelcolum Kill, Nafina, Navan O'Matney's, Ratoath, Simonstown, Screens, Colum Kill, St Peterstone Boyne, Summerhill, and Wolf Tones. They are the 12 teams in Division 1.
Wow, Navan O'Matney's are graded as one of the top teams.
Yeah, but that's like they got promoted last year, of course, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But like look. That should, if they approach that the right way, it should be a great platform for them in the Intermediate Championship this year. Anyways, continue. Sorry, we'll just, after each league division, we'll probably pull out one or two.
100%. JM Food Services, Division 2, Curragha, Duleek Bellewstown, Dunshaughlin, Mead Hill, Manalvi, Oldcastle, Centralstown, St Michael's, St Pat's, Sidon, Trim and Walterstown. Wow.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. I know you kind of hovered on Dunshaughlin there, but when you consider that Dunshaughlin will be without their county players for the majority of that league campaign and how they struggle without them, I know that they will get stronger in the next couple of years. That's probably about right for them. But who are the teams that you're looking at maybe in there that are...
I think Duleek, Bellewstown and Mead Hill will certainly have a say, and St Pat's as well. I'd expect to go pretty well in that.
What other senior teams are in there?
You've got Centralstown, Trim, and Curragha, along with Dunshaughlin.
You should have 6 in there, Davey.
Say that again?
You should have 6 senior teams in there. There's only... you should have 7 when you consider that Division 1.
Curragha, Dunshaughlin. Curragha, Dunshaughlin, Centralstown, Trim. They're the 4 teams in Division 2.
What is there? 3 senior teams in Division 3, maybe?
There's 1 anyway, I can see.
Okay, let's move on to Division 3 then.
Yeah, so this is the PS Doors and Floors Division 3, and starting with Beliver, Bective, Blackhall Gales, Clannagale, Dunham or Ashburn's B team, Dundurry, Dunsany, Kilbride, Kilmainham, Nobber, Rathkenny and St Vincent's.
So Rathkenny are the only team in there. Was there 12 in Division 1 by any chance?
There is, yeah.
Oh, sorry, there's 12 in Division 1, yeah. So there's only 3 teams then that are, yeah, okay, yeah, that's perfect. I thought there was only 10 in Division 1. Looking at that one, Rathkenny, A senior team playing in Division 3. An interesting one.
It is. Again, I understand it because, you know, they'll probably be missing so many lads and they need to be probably coming out of it though, but it won't be easy. Looking at some of the teams in there, like you've got obviously Kilbride, Dunsany, Bective, Clannagale, Beliver, who are going well early season, Vincent's, you know, there'll be no gimmies in that one either. Be fascinating.
St Vincent's way up the grades when you look at their championship
stars. And like Dunmore Ashburn's second team, they're the highest ranked second team in all the leagues. You know, they were formerly an intermediate team, of course, back in the day. So
yeah,
be really interesting to see how they go on that. But we'll move on. The JMB Sportsfields Division 4, Ballinlock, Carnross, Castletown, Drumbarra, Dunshaughlin B, Gaelcolum Kill B, Longwood, Ratote B, St Bridget's, St Colum Kills B, St Peter's Dunboyne B, and St Dalton's.
Wow. Carnross operating a junior B championship, playing in that division. Gaelcolum Kills B team. Are Gaelcolum Kill usually that strong at second team? I know they're always pretty strong, but like when you look at some of the second teams in there, Ratote, St Colum Kills and the likes.
Yeah, that's true. St Colum Kills are probably St Colum Kills and St Peter's Dunboyne would be the two second teams that stand out to me in that division.
Ratote as well.
Ratote as well, 100%. And then you've got Dunshaughlin and Gaelcolum Kill, who had probably just graded below them. In terms of the first teams in it, like you've got like Carnross, Castletown, Bridget's, you know, Drumbarry. Yeah, it's brutal.
Did you mention Slane in that division?
Slane are not in that division.
No, okay.
So that brings me on to the Tommy Dowd Oil Division 5. Cortown, Kilmainham Wood, Moyla, Menalty, Navan O'Matney's B team, Centralstown's B team, Simonstown's B team, Screen's B team, Slane, Summerhill B team, Trim B team, and Wolf Tone's B team. There'll be quite a lot of second teams pitting their wits against a few first teamers in Division 5.
Yeah, and just on that, the second teams, do they have to name a panel or what? Or is it like it was before, you name your first 12 and anybody else can play for your B team?
I think they could have to name 15, but they won't be the same nights as the first team. Okay, so do you remember last year, you had instances where the first team was playing and they'd have to bring 20 or 25 lads when the second team was playing at the same time in a different venue. That won't happen this year. So that should help the second teams greatly, I would say, this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And teams that, I hope there's some sort of ruling around it as well, that it can't be, like, I can't be named as one of the Simon
Sims. I'd say it'll probably have to be legit enough, like, particularly, you know, with the teams that we're talking about, their second teams. But there's some good teams. Like, you've got, obviously, Mylar in a Junior A team, Slane, Junior A team, Junior B champions last year.
Ourselves,
Kilmainham Wood and Menalty as well, beating finalists. So, that, like, there's some decent teams in that one, first teams as well.
Absolutely.
Tommy Dowd, Oil Division 6, just 10 teams in this one, starting with Boardsmill, Clonard, Dunmore Ashburn C team, Drumcondrat, Duleek Bellewstown's B team, Ratote C team, St Colum Kills C team, St Mary's, St Pat's B team, and St Peter's Dunboyne C team. So you've got, what have you got? 4 C teams in that one, a couple of B teams, and 4 first teams as well.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. Okay, then go on.
Division 7 then, it's mostly all B teams with a couple of C teams as well. Ballinabrachy's Bs, Ballinlock's Bs, Dunshaughlin's C team, Gaelcolum Kills C team, Kilbride's B team, Mead Hill's B team, Nafina's B team, Oldcastle's B team, Rakenny's B team, and Walterstown's B team. So that's Division 7.
Okay, I'm still waiting for 2 or 3 first teams. That's all. I just want to keep
an eye out. Division 8 now, there's 12 in this one. So you've got Blackhall Gael's B team, Castletown's B team, Clannagale's B team, Dunmore Ashburn's D team,
oh my God,
Dundry's B team, Bective's B team, Navan O'Matney's C team, St Colum Kills D team, St Michael's B team, Summerhill's C team, Simonstown's C team, and Beliver's B team. So you've got nice, Nice array of teams in that one. B's, C's, and D's, all letters of the alphabet.
Yeah.
Division 9 then. Carnross B team, Corrigal B team, Drumbarra's B team, Dalík Beilstein C team, Dunsany's B team, Longwood's B team, Manalty's B team, Slane's B team, St Dalton's B team, and Manalvi's B team.
Okay.
Division 10, this is the final division, 11 teams in this one, incidentally. Starting with Cortown's B team, Eastern Gales, Kilmainham Woods B team, Moyla's B team, Siddons B team, Knobbers B team, St Bridget's B team, St Mary's B team, St Pat's C team, St Paul's and Kilmainham's B team.
Excellent. Just I was waiting to hear where Eastern Gales and St Paul's, where they were going to be and if they were going to be playing. I know neither of them affiliated to the cup competitions. Would have been expecting Eastern Gales to be in a cup competition this year, David?
Yeah. Maybe there was still probably early season, a number of transfers that they were waiting on. I'm not sure what they've got or how many have come true or anything like that. I think that'll be a pretty fair grade for them to be in. I think they'll want to be making a good stab at that. Like, you're coming up against a couple of C teams and most junior A or B teams. So in order for them to be competing come the summer, we'll say, with some of the first teams, they'd want to be making a bit of a go at that, you know.
And St Paul's affiliating to the league as well.
Which is good to see.
Where did you say Clonard were?
Clonard are in Division 6. The other first teams in that one are Boards Mill, Drumcondrit, and St Mary's.
I have to say, I really like the look of them leagues. I think that's really well done and very fairly done as well. Kudos to the guys who put that together. It's brilliant. And as you said, might take a couple of years for certain teams to find their grade and whatever. But I think, on the most part, looks very evenly matched each division.
They do. And look, only time will tell on a number of them as well. And like I said, brilliant to have the fixtures. Dates, times, venues for all your games is savage, to be fair. So, kudos.
Yeah, kudos and a huge round of applause to the guys, the committee that put that together. That's a massive undertaking. A mountain of work went into that. And I think all the clubs will be very happy with their league standings.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
So, Davey, moving on to the part of the podcast that everybody absolutely loves. Of course, it is GAPredictions.ie, the Cortown fundraiser that has everybody talking at the moment. It's an absolutely brilliant, brilliant competition on a weekly basis throughout the Alliance Football League.
Yeah, heating up nicely. I suppose to name the winners, joint winners this week, Declan Bannon from Dunshaughlin and Ryan Henry from Cortown, 45 points apiece for the lads. Savage scoring. They both had the draw in Division 2 between Armagh and Donegal, which was central to it. And 100 quid each for the lads. So not a bad weekend's work for the two lads. But that's the small bit of it out of the way. The main event here is the We Are Meath League, of course, Mickey. And four rounds of it now played. And we have a new leader at the top. Ross McGrath has overtaken long-term leader Paul Green, who's dropped down to joint second with Tomás Barker, because Ross McGrath had an impressive week. 36 points, sees him top the table with 135 points after four rounds of action. In second, as we said, joint on 131 is Tomás Barker and Paul Green. Mr. Jelly, James O'Dwyer, look at him there, moving well in third. 128 points for Jelly, 34 points for 3 weeks in a row. 34 points 3 weeks in a row from Jelly. Amazing consistency from the Cortown physio and the Simonstown Gaelers, man. He knows his stuff, in fairness to him. He's a cute hooer, his Jelly. And he's doing well. And he has his eye on that jersey, I'm telling you. Just below Jelly is Jarlett Brennan. He's got 126 points. Fergal Lynch also has 126 points. The two lads actually got 28 points each for their round four score, so not a bad score. Kevin Galligan is up to 125 points. Ronan Casty and myself are tied on 123 points. There's a cluster of players on 122, including Brendan Byrne, Con Cleary, Kevin Coyne, and Barry McDonald. Ciara Donoghue has 120. 119 is shared by Colin Brennan, Donica Lynch, Richie Quigley. Then it's George Plunkett, Shane Riley, and Breen Smith, all on 118. 117 is Andrew Daly and Shane Mulvaney. Mickey Brennan, you're there with 115, 26 for the week. Mark McCoy is just below you with 114. And underneath Mark is three players, including Henry Clifford, Colm Finlay, and Seamus Patrick Gallagher. They're on 113 points. 112 points then for Hugh Durrigan, John Lynch, and Shane Traynor. 111 for James Costello. 110 for Owen Griffin, Barry Hand, Glenn McDonald, and Conor Mulroe. Damien Farley, Nicholas Finlay, Hugh Gamble, David Lynch, Shane McNiff, all of 109. It's 108 then for Ben Hoy, Dennis Ryan, and Brendan White. Jared Goff has 107, as does Shawnee Hughes, Shane Mangan, and Darren Traynor. Harry Corbley and Brian Flynn have 106. It's 105 for Stephen Shepherd. Alton Blake has 104, as does Robbie Keane. Robbie Keane the ham. Thomas McLeod also has 104. It's 103 then for Mossy Burke, Olivia Cusney was last week's winner. Susan Farrell is 103. Zach Griffin is 103. James Lynch is 103. Paul McCarthy is 103. And Colin O'Brien is 103. Colin is struggling. He's a good bit off the pace now, it has to be said at this stage. 101 for Stephen Brennan, David Gordon, and Leo Weldon. Gary Alder and Alan Tormey are locked on 100. 99 apiece for Porrick Carlin, Fergus Grimes, Joe McGuiney, Colm O'Mwey Loach. 98 then for Barry Canning, Paul Finnegan, and Katie Alwell. It's 97 for Declan Dixon, Johnny McGurty, Sean Murray, Robbie Purfield. 96 for Mags Joyce, Terry Bruton, Conor McAleese, and Tommy Owens. Nicky Gogan, who's last year's champion, way off the pace, only 95 points for Nicky. I think he was back-to-back champion as well. He's tied with Annette Lynch. 94 then for Owen Reid. 93 for Stephen Connolly, Owen Dugan, Mark Kelly, and Ryan O'Rourke, and Aideen Smith. 92 for Conor O'Loughlin. 91 for David Byrne, Declan Masterson. 90 for Garrett Lynch, and Alan McCormick, and Sean Ryan. 88 for Ivor O'Halloran and John Timoney. 87 for Colin Gleeson. 86 for Gabriel McDonald. 84 for Hugh Staunton. 83 for Owen Finnegan. 79 for Bowman. 77 for Kieran Shankey. PS Tapes is on 76, but that needs a recount, because do you know what he's done again, Mickey? He's put in a beckon name wrong again, and he screwed it up. He does this every week. So some weeks he puts in PS Tapes, and other weeks he puts in Paddy Staple, and this week he's put in whatever he's put in. He's not put in what he put in round one anyway. So he needs a recount. So I'm doing him a disservice saying he was on, what, 76. So you could say add another 24 at least. Gets him up to about 100, I'd say, on average. I don't know what he's scored, but we'll get that rectified. Yeah. And below them, I think everybody has missed at least a week. So we won't bother going into it because people have missed weeks and that. So there's no real point. Yeah. But that's what's a high level.
What's leading it at the minute?
135, Ross McGrath.
135. I'm 20 points off. It can be done. 3 weeks to go, Davey. I'm going to make a surge. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And the next but 3 weeks...
You've slipped week on week for the last 3 weeks, Mickey. That's the worry. Your form is dipped.
The form is temporary. Class is permanent, Davey. And I've been putting in the hard yards over the last few weeks to figure out what was going to happen in the last 3 weeks of the Allianz Football Leagues. Don't you worry. I'm going to have your back. What are you on at the minute?
I am on... 123? Jesus.
123,
yeah.
Yeah, you're 8 points ahead of me. That's nothing. We'll catch you. Don't you worry about that. okay then, Davey. Moving on. Time to go to our lotto segment.
Yeah, Mickey, first up is my own Corton GFC from last Friday night, 23rd of February. We had an €18,100 jackpot. It wasn't won. The numbers were 26, 29, 30, and 32. We had two Bruce Springsteen tickets for Croker. They went to Katrina McMullen. We also had five €20 winners who were Kieran Keaton, Alicia Bennett, Endicoin, Mary Casty, and Leanne Lynch. We go again with €18,200 next Friday night, cortonga.com/lotto to play. Castletown from the 21st of February, 7,500 of a jackpot, not one. 11, 12, 14, and 16, their numbers. Lucky dip winners, each receiving €30, were Donald Conway, Tony Carney, Joe and Lily, May Weldon, Brendan and the Kearns, and it's Grace, Ollie, and Paul McMahon. Dunmore Ashburn from last week, they had a €9,400 jackpot, not one, from the 18th of February. Match three winners were James Cusick, Craig Shearer, Grania Begley, Paula Trainer, Dave Power, and Angela Farrell. The numbers were 10, 20, 23, and 25. They've got €9,500 on offer. Ballinlock, their fortnightly draw to take place on a Monday night. They had €6,800 last week. Their letters were B, K, W, and Z. No winner of that one. Next draw takes place on the 4th of March. A few match three winners sharing €100 between them, including Frankie Tunney, Michael Henry, Marie Lynch, Fiona Donoghue, and Suzanne Cromwell. The next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Manalvi from last Monday night, the 19th of February, 9, 12, 18, 25. Their numbers, no jackpot winner. €320 winners were Eileen Connolly, Teresa Maguire, and Martina Corcoran. Next draw takes place Monday, 26th. It's worth €6,900. ManalviGFC.ie or play it on the Club Force app. Kilmainham from last Monday night, the 19th, no winner of theirs, 2, 4, 11 and 14, their numbers, €11,200 of a jackpot, 5 lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Joe Black, Shawnee Mahon, Connor Morgan, Willie Carey and Mazur. Longwood from the 19th of February, €3,900 of a jackpot, not one. Lucky dip winners were Tomás O'Brien, Christopher Malloy and Naomi Bear. The numbers were 8, 9, 23 and 24. Their next draw takes place on the 26th of February and it's worth €4,000. Walterstown from last Sunday night, the 18th of February, 3, 10, 11 and 22. Their numbers, no jackpot winner of that €10,000 jackpot. Four match three winners were Louise McCabe, Pat Reynolds, Ed Roach and PJ McCabe. This year, €100. Jackpot still worth €10,000. You can play online via Club Force. Envelopes are also available in Curran's Garage or in O'Brien's in Johnstown or in the Clubhouse Bar. And the final one on my list, Mickey, is from Menalty this week. Lotto from the 18th of February 2024, €2,800 of a jackpot. Numbers were 8, 10, 16 and 21. No jackpot winner, no match three winners. Five €20 winners were Pat Smith, Aisling Donoghue, Jeanette Farley, Michael McCabe and Scott McGovern. The special online prize of €50 went to Rosemary Lynch. And the next draw takes place tonight. It's worth €3,000.
Brilliant stuff, Davey. Sentinson's Lotto last Monday, the 19th of February. The numbers drawn were 17, 24, 27, 28. There was no jackpot winner. 5 25 euro winners were Jennifer Fitzgerald, Nicola McGurk, Anne Flynn, Karen Geraghty, and Michael Mullen. And this week's lotto taking place on Monday night will be 1,400 euro. Kilmainham Woods lotto from last week, again, Monday the 19th. The numbers drawn were 11, 13, 21, 23. No jackpot winner. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro, were Megan Rooney, Jerry Owens, Theresa McKenna, Gary Kieran, and Martin Curley. This week's lotto jackpot will be 2,200 euro. And finally, Simonson's lotto that took place on the 23rd of February. The jackpot was 5,000 euro. There was no winner. The numbers drawn were 5, 10, 15, and 32. The match three winners on the night, there was four of them: Anne-Marie Carraher, Mary Crosby, Alice Kellett, and Josephine Conlon. I just wonder, was that my own sister, Mary Crosby, that picked up a few bob from the Simonson lotto and her Navin O'Matney's stalwart? So it'll be interesting. I'll have to give her a ring to see if that was her stealing money from my own club.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
So, Davey, we're at the final hurdle now. It is Instagram interactive. Have our listeners been in contact with some talking points?
Yeah, and in good form, as you'd imagine, as well, on the back of it, a really good win. So we'll get stuck into it. Robert Purfield starts the ball rolling by saying, despite all the doom and gloom a couple of weeks back, we're probably where we all thought we'd be now.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of doom and gloom after the Armagh game, but we have to remember where Armagh are coming from and where this Meath team are coming from. So maybe we put too much emphasis on that loss to Armagh after drawing with Fermanagh the first day out, who were going to go into that first game with all guns blazing, because everybody was talking them down, talking about how they were going to be relegation fodder. And they had to come out with, as I said, all guns blazing. So we've got the two victories against the two local neighbours in Louth and Kildare. And yeah, we're just moving along nicely. It's all about the development of this group of players.
Yeah, and another word to sum it up would be momentum. Getting the job done yet again late on. Away we go to Cavan, said Shane Riley.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's what, the start of the league last year was the last time that Meath put back-to-back wins together. So apart from the Tailteann Cup, obviously, because that was another run of wins. And, winning is a habit. And momentum is a huge thing in Gaelic football as well.
Joe McQueenie said, great character shown to score the last 4 points and close the game out when not playing well.
Yeah, this is a characteristic of this team, isn't it, Davey? You've seen them doing it. You've seen what they've done towards the end of games. And for such a young age profile of these players, I think that they're developing very, very quickly.
Yeah. Lucky to be working, said lad. Fair play to get into the game after being in London yesterday. Meath athlete. Yeah, that's just what I do, lucky.
Yeah, Davey was over in London to watch his beloved Gunners playing and getting another victory. What's that? 15 goals in 3 games?
We don't get carried away with it. We wouldn't really be celebrating that, to be honest.
Yeah. You'd only celebrate if you were coming up against a team like Liverpool. Is that it?
Yeah. Some celebrations after winning that cup today, the Lucas A Cup or the Carabao Cup.
Oh yeah, I saw that. All right, yeah. Bizarre. Anyway,
back to business with Brian Flynn. He said, rest in peace, Kildare Hams, house private, donations if desired to the Park Talton Development Fund.
Well, they could do it a few pound themselves for the development of Newbridge that's taking place at the moment. And, you know, look, you have to feel sorry for Glenn Ryan, what he's going through at the moment. But great to get a victory over Kildare. You know, they're themselves loud and, you know, Dublin, you know, they're the teams that we really want to be beating all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Dara Toohey said, Adam McDonnell is some man. And Joe McQueenie quickly followed that up by saying, McDonnell, a pup. He's absolutely brilliant. I just love to see it. He's just a little shithouse. He's the type of fella you love to hate if you're, you know, if he's on the opposite team, but he's great to have on your team. You're looking
at the final few minutes of a game and you're going, what will we do? Or should we throw in the Jack Russell?
he goes straight for the leg, I think he'll be a hell of a player for me, by the way. I really do. But it's early days. Kieran McGrogan said, team doing us proud in spite of a big absentee list. Keep it going.
Yeah, it's something that we kind of referenced as well earlier on. I mean, I think we referenced it over on our Loyal Royals podcast as well when we were doing the review of the Meath Kildare game, is that we're getting a massive contribution from our bench, and yet we're down so many players at the moment that you wouldn't expect in your bench to give you such an impact when they come on. You look at other teams around the division, and when they go into their subs bench, their 10, 11, 12 subs, whatever it is they have, they're not getting the impact of them.
Yeah, that's it. Next one comes in from Sean Murray, and he said, Tig Martin, impressive for the UCD freshers levels. Oh yeah, good player. Good to see him playing college football too, isn't it?
Yeah, fabulous footballer. And is he playing freshers, is it?
Playing freshers for DCU, yeah.
Is he involved with the Meath Under-20s this weekend, year? So. Is he involved with the Meath Under-20s?
Yeah, I think he could be, yeah. Yeah. He's a busy man.
Bright future ahead of him as well.
Yeah. Jack Walsh said, Ferris supporting Meath, even though he's a Maynooth man. Last time I checked, Maynooth was in Kildare.
Jack Walsh, you just concentrate in the hurling.
Yeah. Now you said it, Mickey. C. Howley said, Brian O'Halloran from Bolivar played well for his first start, and Bolivar winning their first 2 games.
Yeah, well, you were there. You're a massive fan of Brian O'Halloran, as am I. And he's right, Bolivar moving well on cup front as well.
Yeah, and just on Brian O'Halloran, he's still an under-20 player this year, and that will still be probably his main thing for the first half of the year at least. But it obviously speaks volumes about how good he is that he's nailed down a starting spot for the Meath seniors already. That's astonishing.
He was so good for the under-20s last year. I know it was a disappointing year for the under-20s, but he was one of the shining lights.
Yeah, and he was excellent in the club championship then as well. Flash Gordon said, return of the Skull.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Scully, back in there. A morale-boosting inclusion for many reasons, because I believe he's one of those lads that you love around have around the dressing room for bringing up morale as well.
He got wind of there being the faintest hope of a promotion, and he couldn't miss that.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, all seriousness, great to see him back. He's had a bad, bad time with injuries, so he'll be a welcome addition to Colm, I'm sure.
Damn right. And just watch this space on Dylan Scully, because he's going to have a part to play with this team yet.
Yeah, that's for sure. I actually think that is it for this week. I'll just do one more quick refresh. No, that's it. I do have one more small thing to just call out. Paul Green, the Manalvi PRO, was in touch to just ask what I give their fundraiser a plug. They're doing a Cheltenham preview night in Kiltale Clubhouse on Saturday the 2nd of March at 9 p.m. sharp. Special guests include Gordon Elliott, Robbie Power, Noel Moran, Keith Donoghue and Gavin Cromwell. Admission is €20. You can pay on the door. MC will be their own Adrian O'Halloran. There's a great raffle and auction prizes on the night. As we said, top trainers and jockeys alike. So for anybody interested in a good Cheltenham preview night, Manalvi GFC have you covered.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll support Manalvi GFC in that fundraiser where you can, and go over and get some tips from all the lads on the night. I'm sure €20 well spent. If you're a gambler, you might just throw an extra €20 and a few tips that they give you, and you'll be in the money. So, is it they say? You got to spend money to make money.
Speculate to accumulate.
Speculate to accumulate. That's a lovely way to finish the podcast. That's it for this episode of your We Are Meat podcast. Remember, We Are Meat. Bye. Where's more?